We have been seeing some really amazing things that God is doing. And, you know, one of the things that I do here is I deal with people that are spiritually stuck or have spiritual issues. And a couple weeks ago, we were at our house, and I got a phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning. I love those 3 a.m. phone calls. Hey, I believe I have somebody with some really spiritual issues. I said, okay, we're in your driveway. Can we pray for you? Can you come out and pray for us? Let me get my head in place, because at 3 a.m. it ain't in place. And so my wife and I got ourselves together, took a few minutes, and we walked out to go pray. And this person literally jumps out of the car, starts running down my driveway screaming, and I said, stop. I said, stop in the name of Jesus, and she collapsed. That's a bizarre story. It's a true story. God's grace and God's mercy came upon that person that night. And we watched God deliver that person from some stuff that she needed to deal with. It was amazing. Back in May, or actually back in April, I preached a message on loving God. The essentials and the importance of loving God and how loving God allows us to access who God is, the nature of God, the things of Jesus, and the importance of loving it. Because loving God is really how we access God and how we access everyone around us. Matthew 22, 36 through 40 says, Matthew 22, 36 through 40 says, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like this. Love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and the prophets hang on these commandments. Love. That message back at the end of April was about how love is so important, that Jesus himself is love, and that to experience the love of God, we need to invest in the love of God, that we need to bow our knee to him, we need to be obedient, we need to live in some repentance. And I followed that up in April on a message about repentance, that our lives should be on bended knee. Can you turn that one on? It's Sunday. It's just the day I've had. It's okay. No, you're good. You're good. It's really the day I've had. Anyways, love is the key to life with God. Without love, we have nothing. Without it, you have nothing. People in this world will live their whole life angry, mean, and at the end of their life, they will pass and they will spend an eternity in hell without love. One of the saddest things that a pastor can ever do is go to a funeral and no one ever shows up, because you know that person wasn't loved and no one cared about them. That is heartbreaking for somebody that cares. Love is how our Christian life should flow, and everything will flow out of that love. Spiritual and natural things will come out of love. When we love naturally, we find good, the people around us, they love us, we love them, we have community, we have people we can live life with. In the spiritual realm, when we have the love for God, we can have spiritual manifestations and the things that God wants to do in our lives. You know, a spiritual manifestation is salvation. I hope you're all saved. If you're not, we need to talk. Because you learned in a moment when we got saved, we said, yes, Lord, I love you, and I'm going to accept who you are. And in that moment, you became an heir to the throne. And you became God's child. And you you felt the love of the Father. At least I hope you did. I went on in May and I talked about repentance. That whole life of repentance. Repentance is very, very important in our lives. John the Baptist's whole ministry was about repentance. Repent, 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 repent. That's all he preached, was repentance. What was the first public message that Jesus spoke on? Repentance. If we're not people that have repentance, if we have things in our life that we are openly and knowingly doing and we are sinning against the things of God, we need to ask God to forgive us. Because in that forgiveness, we build relationship with him. Loving God and repentance are two foundations that we should always have as believers. What are our foundations? We all have them. You look around this room, we have multiple cultures, we have multiple demographics of people throughout this church. Everybody here has a story. Everybody here has a narrative. Everybody here has a foundation. Some of that foundation was really, really good, and some of that foundation was really, really bad. See, I grew up on a foundation where I could do whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted, at any time I ever wanted. That was my life. I was telling somebody recently about how my father gave me sex ed talks, and he gave me talks about alcoholism. It's basically I could go do whatever I wanted to do because he thought that that's what we needed to do. That foundation got broken when I came to the Lord because God began to show me that those foundations were not valuable, that those were not good, that I didn't need to drink, that I didn't need to do things that were against God's commandments. But the world we live in, right? We as Christians are faced with more challenges than many. Internet, TikTok, multimedia, Facebook. How many times a day do you see stuff that's inappropriate? All the time. And we are bombarded by that. And some of that challenges the foundation of Christ in us. And we wonder, we struggle with, is it okay? Is this okay? Is that okay? And then we get this curiosity. And we know what curiosity does, right? Sometimes curiosity kills the cat. Sometimes curiosity can build you up, right? I know there's a bunch of homeschoolers in here. Curiosity of a child who has a heart to learn about something empowers them and grows them. You will learn about what you are curious about. Are you curious about God? And do you learn about him? Your foundation will be based on what you learn and what you follow and what you desire. There is a foundation of grace that God has given us. And it's actually the kind of the third point in this little series I'm doing over a year. But it's a little series. And it's the foundation of grace. See, grace isn't that sloppy agape, you can go do whatever you want to do like my father told me I could do. Grace is, you've done wrong, but I'm going to love you and forgive you right where you're at. Second Peter 3:17-18. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless and the fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. I'm going to read a second verse. James 4:8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So how do we grow in the grace of God? How? Anybody ever asked that question? Because I did. I was like, how do I grow in God's grace? It's like, it's monumental. It's big. But it's growing in the grace of God is growing in the relationship with God. When you're a child and you go to your parents and you're like, Mom, Dad, I broke this. I'm really sorry. The parent responded generally in one of two or three ways, right? Oh, thank you for letting me know, but you're still in trouble. Or you got beat. Or they just didn't care. God cares. God has that heart for us, and he has that desire that when we come to him, when we draw near to God, and the only way that we can draw near to God is through repentance, because God is holy, and God is so holy that when we have sin in our lives, we cannot be in his presence without repenting and asking God to forgive us. And that repentance brings the grace of God into our life. And that grace of God grows in us as we come to him. There's a level of comfortability. Now, I don't want to pick on any new Christians. There's some new Christians here and there's some old Christians. I remember when I was a new Christian and I messed up, right? And I would go to the Lord and I'd be like, Father, I did it again. Sorry. Forgive me. And you're waiting, right? And nothing. That's God's grace. We go to him, it's finished. It's dealt with. We need to be people, as Christians, that run to the Father when we've blown it, so that we can have that deep relationship with him. Because when we grow in the knowledge of his grace, and when we grow in who God is, God can empower us to move mountains. God can empower us to do almost anything. That in that time when we can learn that Jesus has our back when we go to him, and in that grace and in that knowledge of who God is, he pours out his spirit upon us, and he can tell us to go do anything, and we can do it. See, many people believe that God's grace is based on our emotions, how we feel at that moment, or, you know, what God's opinion of us is. It's not. See, God's grace requires our will to say, Lord, I will do your will. See, we have to be willing to take our emotions and sometimes set them aside, right? Anybody here ever get angry? God, I don't want to forgive them. But he tells us to forgive. But I don't want to forgive. But we're supposed to forgive. But I don't want to forgive. But you have to forgive. Lord, forgive me for not forgiving and forgive me my things that I've done. And we can struggle with our emotional lives because those are things that hold us up. And we need to sometimes forgive God with our own, with everything that's in us, because that's the best we can do. See, we have an enemy, though, that wants you to be stuck in your emotions, and he wants you to have your free will to do his will. So you're going to use your free will for whatever you want. You're going to serve the Lord, or are you going to serve the enemy? And that will all tie into your foundation and what you believe that God can do in your life. See, when we experience grace and we experience the love of the Father, we experience hope. And hope will overcome anything. Nations have stood up against unbelievable attacks because of hope. What is your hope in? Is it in the hopes of this world? Is it in the political system of the United States? Is it in your job? What is your hope in? Your hope should be in Jesus. They're all tied together. When we live our life, this is how I look at it. If you look at how a rabbi is trained, right? We are all like little mini priests. When we become Christians, we become heirs to the throne, we become priests. Nobody wants to hear that because nobody wants to preach up here. I get it. But how is a rabbi trained in the Jewish custom? A rabbi is trained, they come on, they get trained by a rabbi, then they're like a rabbi in training. And that rabbi in training follows that rabbi around everywhere he goes, taking notes and serving that rabbi and doing everything for that rabbi without question. And he's learning the whole time, learning, 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 learning. And at one point in time, that rabbi will acknowledge that the person that wants to be a rabbi can be a rabbi. That's how we need to treat Christ. We need to follow him, learning his ways, learning the things that he has taught us to do so that we can be like him and we can be approved by him. Our foundation must be love and grace. As we follow God so closely, we begin to think and act like him. I mean, I personally would love being able to go down the street and just start healing people and casting out demons, clean the town up, get rid of the drug dealers, get rid of all the bad stuff, but not yet. Give it time. We must realize that we are not owned, or we do not owe anything, we are not owed anything by God. He doesn't owe us anything. You could have every travesty in the world. He doesn't owe you anything. But you owe him everything because he gave you life. God even calls us to be a living sacrifice for him. People that are so devoted to him that we follow him and we do what he asks. And that's tough. There are times when we are called to go do things. Jerry and I get called to go do things. We've got other things planned. I would far rather go fishing sometimes and deal with the things we have to deal with. But God called us. And part of being that living sacrifice is sometimes taking our own personal things and setting them aside and doing the will of the Father. Right? 1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 15. This is one of our foundations that as we allow God to move in us, God can move through us and in us and do amazing things. For we are co-workers in God's service. We are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. No one can lay a foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escapes through the flames. We are called to be co-workers with Christ. And we become co-workers with Christ through the grace that God gives us. We are called to come alongside God and to work his mission. What is his mission for you? Every person here has a purpose. Every person here has something that God wants you to do. What is it? That's a tough question. If we look and we break down the text and we look at when he uses the word field, it means to be cultivated. We are to be cultivated in Christ, which means we need to be broke down. We need to get our sod ripped off. We need to get the soil overturned. We need to get the stones picked out. And then the Lord will seed us and grow us right where we're at. Because we are truly God's building. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. People don't understand the significance of that. The Father in heaven has chose to indwell. When we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, he indwells within you, giving you all spiritual authority to deal with whatever you need to deal with in your life. That your past does not have to be your future. That in Christ, you're a new creation and it's a new day. You don't have to live in the pain and the suffering of your past. Because trust me, folks, this side of Jesus is a lot better than it was before Jesus. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of time. It takes some emotional struggles to get through it. But at the end of the day, God is an amazing God. And his grace has poured out on me in my life. And I've told stories about that. Anyways. So this foundation that God is giving us is very, very simple. This foundation of grace. That Jesus is the love, is love. Therefore, we should love God, love our neighbor, love ourselves. Do you know that's one of our major problems that we face with teens and with some young adults and even in adulthood? People don't care about themselves. They don't like themselves and who they are. And I always ask the question, why? And then I get a long list of answers. And then we have to go deal with those things. Because the reality is, you should actually like yourself. Most of you are really, really good people. And the rest of you are really, really awesome people. No. Everybody's pretty good. The foundational love that God has given us is because of God's grace on mankind. He didn't have to let us have Jesus, but he did. So grace is a key foundational point where we need to start in our lives and seeking the Lord to do that. I was once asked, where do you see yourself in 6 months as a pastor? And I went, That's a question I've started asking young adults. It's a question I've started asking some of the youth. Where do you see yourself in 6 months? Can you see yourself overcoming your hurts and your pains? Can we have that hope, healing, and wholeness that we need? Do you need help to overcome those? We have Overcomers Outreach on Thursday nights. That is really about helping people overcome wounded areas in their life. And we're watching breakthroughs, and we're watching people's lives be touched just because of that ministry, which is awesome. God can move when we move. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. In other words, if you're laying stagnant in your relationship with Christ, then you're falling away, because God's always moving forward. So you have to draw near to him. You have to continue to seek him. You have to continue to move forward in a desired relationship with him. That relationship will come when we invest our time to him. And here's an example of somebody who loved Jesus and had that experience of watching Jesus love them in their lives, but then watching Jesus pour out and God pour out the blessings on him. Simon Peter, does anybody know, everybody knows the story of Simon Peter, right? The rock, So Matthew 16 through 20. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Peter went to do some amazing things for God. What did Peter do to Jesus before Jesus' crucifixion? He denied him. Jesus was denied by Peter. And yet, Jesus chose to use him as the rock that he built the church on. Some of you may think that grace isn't for you, that God's love isn't for you, that you've blown it so bad that you can't have access to God and Jesus. But here's the reality. It's in Scripture. It's written. And it's the truth that Jesus loves us and forgives us continuously when we come to him. Peter did amazing things, right? He was at Pentecost. He was there at Pentecost when people were speaking in tongues, they were speaking in other languages, the manifestation of the Spirit was among all people, which is amazing. Peter was also the first to take the gospel to the Gentiles. I don't know about you, but we Gentiles are a big mess. And he took it. He was a missionary. He went to them, and he brought the word to them. And their lives were changed. The key to that was all love. The key to the growth that Peter experienced was love. And acknowledging who God was and seeking the grace that God had for him. Repentance is that tool that he can use. I've only got a 4 more hour dissertation. We're almost there. Just kidding. See, I've seen it in my own life that the closer I draw to God, the more that I allow God to work in my life, the more that I live my life following the rabbi, doing the right things, the more I see God's manifestation in my life. 6 months ago when my knee started to hurt, it wasn't that bad. About 2 months ago, I was like, "Jerry, just cut it off with a chainsaw because it hurts." And as you guys probably know, I'm a field guy, so I had to work in the field. I had to walk on it. Doesn't stop. And God said, "I'll heal it. It's just going to take time." I'm like, "Can you hurry it up a little bit?" My timing, my will, not his. But it's better, and it's getting better. It took time. See, that's the Holy Spirit talking to us. And the more that I draw to him and the more that I walk in him, the more that I hear God speaking things in my life and to other people's lives as we do ministry, I kind of believe that this is a good foundational principle. If you want to see God manifest in your life, you want to hear him, you want to have relationship with him, this is really where you need to go. You need to be in a place where you're walking with him in your life and saying no to sin and yes to him. Because truth, right, is, right? 2 Corinthians 2:19 says that when we are weak, he is strong. I may look strong on the outside, but I'm weak in the inside in him. And I would rather be weak in him and let him be strong than me be strong. Because when I'm strong, I'm going to mess it up. So, in closing, the Word of God is our foundation, that is one of the key foundations that we need to read and we need to know and we need to put in our heart and we need to be able to recite. Anytime that Jesus dealt with the devil, he said that it was written. Right? At least in the beginning. Some people will say, hey, I know who Jesus is. And I say to them, I know that the devil knows who he is too, but do you know Jesus as you have a relationship with him? We need to build a relationship with God based on the foundations of God. When we have wrong foundations, we develop wrong conclusions. Wrong conclusions put us into a sin pattern and don't allow us to experience the love that the Father has for us. Our every decision we make should be based on the foundations of what Jesus taught us. Through relationship with Jesus and biblical knowledge, we will get spiritual revelation into God's kingdom. And remember, God's desire is to grow his kingdom. And you are the workmanship that he's going to use. I know, it's hard to believe that God would use me, but hey, he used a donkey, so, you know. God can use us when we're willing. We have to be willing. But all of God's kingdom and all of the foundation of God's kingdom is based on the grace and love of the Almighty. Never forget that. No matter what you do, God loves you. No matter what you have done, God can forgive you and God can use you. The world will tell you that you are trash, that you are garbage, and that you are worthless. But God says you are redeemed. Never forget that you have been redeemed. Thank you. I don't believe we have anything else. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do in us. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy, Lord. We thank you that you call all of us as workmanship to do your will. And Father, I pray for this congregation and anyone listening online, that Father, you would generate a spiritual desire to know more about you, to go to you in a life of love, in a life of repentance, in a life of grace. That Lord, in that they would have freedom to serve you in all things. Pray now, Lord, that they would be dismissed, that they would be safe, that their families would be watched over. And Lord, we do again pray for every prayer need that's out there. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in the grace of our Lord.